Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Mitram benatma shauchena. Gaurvena damena cha. Shushushaya saudidena. Vacha madhuraya cha bho. Vishram hinatma shauchena. Gauravena damena cha. Shushushaya sauhidena. Vacha madhuraya cha bho.
Vacha madhuraya cha bho.
Vishrambina.
Vishrambina.
With intimacy.
Atma
Shauchena. With purity of mind and body. Gauravena. With great respect. Damina cha.
And with control of the senses.
Shushushaya.
With service.
Sauhidena.
With love.
Vacha.
With words.
Madhuraya.
Sweet.
Cha.
And.
Boh.
O Vidura.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses, with love and with sweet words. Purport. Here two words are very significant. Devahuti served her husband in two ways, Vishramhina and Gauravena. These are two important processes in serving the husband or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishrambena means with intimacy, and Gauravena means with great reverence. The husband is a very intimate friend. Therefore, the wife must render service just like an intimate friend. And at the same time, she must understand that the husband is superior in position, and thus she must offer him all respect. A man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife. And a woman, as bodily constituted, is naturally inferior to her husband. Thus the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife, and this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it, and thus there will be no misunderstanding between the husband and wife. Vishrambena means with intimacy, but it must not be familiarity that breeds contempt. According to the Vedic civilization, a wife cannot call her husband by name. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name, but in Hindu civilization, she does not. Thus, the inferiority and superiority complexes are recognized. Damena cha. A wife has to learn to control herself even if there is a misunderstanding. Sarudina vacha madhuraya means desiring good for the husband and speaking to him with sweet words. A person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. Hare Krishna. I'm in a room
of all saffron, so two brahmacharis there, but they're just temporarily wearing white in the back. So I have to be careful what I say. Okay, I didn't see. Hi, Krishna. So I read from a sort of authoritative source, actually it was a package of herbal tea quotation from Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher. And supposedly Aristotle said, by all means get married. If you get a good wife, you're very fortunate. And if not, you can always study philosophy. Hare Krishna. Here we have the perfect theory of marriage, married life, according to the Vedic social system. To respect, or rather, what is it, accommodate? The inferiority and superiority complexes. These are material, psychological problems that a person in a male body has to think himself better. And a person in a female body wants to be protected and therefore pretends to be inferior in order to get that protection. It's just material psychology. But the scientifically designed Vedic social system accommodates that. People have different mentalities, and therefore, the mentalities are not justified. They're based on lust, envy, and greed, and mistrust of the Supreme Person. But anyway, to get people back to some sort of civilized condition in which there's some hope of them being brought to back to Krishna consciousness, the Varnashram system is there to arrange for people with these different complexes. One wants to be superior, the other wants to be protected. Arranges by very careful rules and regulations that everything goes on peacefully and people can work and live together. So the first building block of a peaceful, non-violent, cohesive human society is the family. And the building block of the family is the husband and wife. There has to be some means for the male and female to live together. At least those who are going to get married, who don't have the intelligence and the spiritual strength to avoid it, they're going to have to survive this experience with maybe some of their spiritual life intact. So the Vedic system is that the husband should be respected. He should be the head of the family, not just in name. And the wife, and we see it in India nowadays, even now, the wife worships her husband as guru and as God. They actually have this attitude. They consider it natural. It's part of their culture, at least in theory. This is the way it's supposed to be. We should be careful how we apply the theory. We have to be realistic and not abuse the ideal theory. If, as devotees trying to raise to the transcendental platform, we end up getting married, we should not misinterpret or misapply the theory, assuming that I'm the husband, therefore I must be worshipped, everything I say must be obeyed. Very few women, even Indians, in today will go along with that. One has to be practical and compromise. The idea is not that the husband demands worship and absolute obedience. The woman, the girl who has been trained, not even formal training, it's not that they send the girls in Vedic society to finishing school to learn how to deal with men. No, it's part of the family upbringing. It's part of the culture. The girls are brought up in an environment where they see ladies acting like this, and they imbibe the mood and the attitude. And so from earliest childhood, a girl is brought up how to be a proper wife and mother. With that training, practical, hands-on training, a girl is ready to be a proper Vedic wife, or at least some semblance of it. But don't expect that those who haven't gone through that lifetime training are going to be able to immediately shift into that mode. Modern world, we're pushing the idea of equality. Everyone's equal. No one's a master. No one's a servant. And that especially goes to the women. It's changing in India, too. The women are becoming less chaste. Young women are having illicit relationships with their boyfriends in college, in the universities. They're dressing like a prostitute would not dress 10 years ago. So the lifestyle in India is changing for the worse very quickly. What to speak of if you get a wife from another country. Anyway, this is if in the slight quirk of fate, you might have to get married. Otherwise, life is much simpler. And those who don't have to get married can just understand the theory and teach it to others. There are more general principles here. Everyone who is a brahmachari can apply the same basic principles to the relationship with the spiritual master. Practically the same words, same verse could be applied to how a disciple should deal with his spiritual master. Vishrambena. Here Vishrambena, Prabhupada is translating as intimacy. Friendship. What is it? Rupa Goswami, I can't remember the words. Ashraye. Anyway, one of the five specially recommended angas of devotional service that Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu recommends is to associate with devotees who are more advanced than you. Swayamvare. But not only should you look for devotees who are more advanced, but there are two other qualifications of that person you should associate with. He should have a sajatiya mentality. Sajatiya means in the same category. Jati is category. You should look for devotees who are not only apparently more advanced than you, but who have a similar mood of devotional service, have similar priorities in devotional service. Someone is very interested in preaching and gives his whole life to that. Another devotee may be more interested in delving within and studying and meditating. Prabhupada set a mood for ISKCON, that it's a preaching movement. But there are other styles of devotional service. Prabhupada seeing the concern he can't give to just everybody. And some devotees are very busy or cannot take many disciples or don't want to take any disciples. So the guru has to be willing. I'm talking about guru now. I was talking more generally about associating with advanced devotees. But when we come down to actually asking for initiation, or even more generally, asking for someone's attention and concern, taking his time and his, you know, making him think about you. Even if you don't, you're not asking for initiation, you're just asking for some association. The person may not be in a position where he's free to give it. He may not want to give himself away to everybody. He may have to save himself for his other service. So the devotee you want to associate with has to be snigdha, he has to be sympathetic or willing to give his attention to you. This is one of the five most strongly recommended angas of devotional practice listed by Rupa Goswami. So these are the modes in which one should execute that engagement of looking for and getting the association of more advanced devotees. You should approach with vishramba, with trust, confidence. This is what intimacy means. It doesn't mean just hanging out, having jokes together, you know, talking all day and night, staying in the same place. That's intimacy, real intimacy. Vishramba really means opening up your heart. Spiritual communication has a protocol. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. You want to upadek shanti te gyanam. You want to get spiritual enlightenment from someone? So the devotees who have enlightenment, they can give it. Whatever enlightenment they have, they can share. There may be relative, different degrees of enlightenment, but whatever they have, they can share with you. But there's a protocol for this transfer of enlightenment, this spiritual communication. You can be enlightened also. You approach those who have the enlightenment you want, the Krishna conscious realization that you want to take from them, share with them. But you should approach like this, pranipatena, submissively. Pranipata literally means lying down on the ground, flat like a stick. But that's just symbolic. There are plenty of people, Prabhupada used the term dandavati, especially in Bengal. It's a device for controlling people. You know, you humbly beg and plead and lie down on the ground to get what you want out of somebody. or if you're ever caught in a riot in Bengal or something, that's going to, a situation that's about to turn into a riot, best thing to do is do that. Just offer obeisance to everybody. And then being Bengalis, they'll do the same. But that's not pranipata here means being submissive. Just like you answer the phone. Although here, I've said this before, here in Vraja, you answer the phone and the man on the other end speaking in Hindi says, "Kaun hai?" I answer the phone and the man over there asks me who I am. Well, he made the phone call. He should tell me who he is. You know, they don't care for the protocol here. Protocol is you answer the phone, the person, you say hello to let him know that you're there listening. But then the person who called, the protocol is he's supposed to announce who he is and why he called, not to demand who you are. That's not polite. No, it's not the way to establish a communication, not with me at least. I hang up at that point. So that's a protocol. Hello, and then the other person announces who he is and what his business is, why he's calling. Like that, the first step of the of establishing a spiritual communication is to submit yourself, to announce, hello, I'm here to be enlightened. I'm not here to instruct you. I want to receive instruction. And you can announce that by either bowing down or with some other symbolic gesture or words out of your mouth, let the person know that you want to receive knowledge from him and you're in the receiving mode, submissive. That's the first step. Second step is pariprashnena. You should ask questions. Don't assume that the spiritually advanced enlightener can read your mind by telepathy. You're supposed to tell him what your question is, what your problem is, why you're approaching him, what you want to know. And then sevaya, third step. Whatever your problem is, the answer is that you are neglecting to serve Krishna and you should engage, begin to engage or engage more and better in Krishna's service. And that will solve your problem. No matter what the question is, that's the answer. Seva. So the third step is you should, receiving the response, the prescription, you should try to carry it out. That's the three-step protocol for establishing spiritual communication, for establishing a spiritual relationship with a more advanced devotee who can enlighten you. Just to ask questions and get the answers is an incomplete process. If you try to put the answers into action, carry out the instructions, then you learn something. The educational cycle is complete. So the same qualities of a wife that she should exhibit toward her husband, a disciple can learn to exhibit toward his or her spiritual master. Vishramba, this opening of your heart, following the protocol of establishing properly the communication. Let the person know what your problems are and let him help you.
Atma Shauchena,
with purity of body and mind. If I'm too degraded in my behavior, then I won't be fit to receive spiritual instruction. Therefore, we have these regulations that we should keep ourselves clean internally and externally. We take shower. We follow regulative principles to keep our mind pure. We chant Krishna's names to purify us. Then we're fit to receive enlightenment.
Gauravina,
respect must be there. Dhamena, self-control. If your mind is agitated, you can't hear properly. So you have to curb the mind and the senses, be peaceful and receptive.
Vacha madureya.
And one should speak sweetly. One shouldn't be argumentative with the person you're trying to receive enlightenment from. It has to be a receptive process, not an argumentative process. So that's basic. These are very basic principles. We should know them all already. A wife should speak sweet words to her husband. Chanaka Pandit made the remark, Yatcha matri grihe nasti, yasya mata grihe nasti, bharya cha apriya bhashini, tena aranyam gantavyam, yata aranyam tatagriham. Someone who doesn't have his mother living with him at home anymore. She's passed away or she's not at home. And someone whose wife does not speak sweetly, apriyabhashi, she speaks harshly, he might as well go to the forest because his house is no better than the forest. No mother home and a wife that doesn't speak sweetly, no better than being in the forest anyway. So he might as well take sannyas. That also we shouldn't misapply. If the wife sometimes speaks back to the husband, it's not automatic grounds for divorce or sannyas. Yeah, one has to be tolerant and accept that the world isn't perfect and we aren't perfect in this modern world. These are injunctions for the wife, for the disciple. They're meant for the person in the subordinate position, not for the person in the superior position. Not that you can demand this from your wife, but that she should try to voluntarily exhibit these qualities. Guru, it says, responsible, ability to demand or train up his disciple to behave properly. But even that, he has to be tolerant. You know, a disciple comes in a very imperfect condition, the guru has to bring him up to a perfect condition. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes, Prabhu, could you say that a person who's in the superior position, in one sense their superiority is because of the fact that they're applying that process diligently themselves, and therefore they have the right to be respected.
Someone can assume the position of a spiritual guide, maybe not officially spiritual master, shiksha guru or something, or just advisor, on the strength of his being having been a proper follower. One who's been a proper disciple can then become a proper guru. As you say, by following the process, you become fit to guide others in following the process. It's relative. Swayamvare. It doesn't say, Rupa Goswami doesn't say you have to associate only with people who are absolutely perfect, but better than you. Relative. Then you get advantage. More advantage if someone's a lot more better than you. And if he's absolutely perfect, that's the best. But the basic criterion is better than you. better by having done what you're trying to get him to train you up in. He's already done it. He's further along on the path than you are. That's all. Okay. Anything else? No, Raj.
Tell us more secret knowledge of what to do if you're caught in a Bengali ride.
I never have been. I've heard of others who have, and they didn't fare so well. Who was that devotee? Anyway, I won't even mention his name. He punched a coolie in Sheldon Station in Calcutta. And there was a big riot. They ripped off all his clothes and his wife's clothes, and they, you know, they escaped barely without getting seriously injured. So, better stay away from Bengali riots. So I don't have experience in it directly, just have heard instances. If you see in India people throwing rocks or getting ready to start a riot, better just go down the next street, don't go near it. Because they see a white face and then, you know, they want to take out all their frustration on you.
You mentioned you pay obeisances.
Yeah, I mean, if you're stuck, you know, right in the middle of it, that's one thing that might save you. But I haven't tried it.
I remember listening to one story. It was in my Prabhupada. You heard that some big noise.
Yes.
So he sent the devotee to see what happened, and it was a big riot.
Yeah.
The devotees came by rickshaw out of the vehicle. They couldn't agree with, anyway, it was a big riot. One of the Maharajas was, and it almost was on the verge of, beating was a big riot.
Yes, yes.
Prabhupada, the disciple came back and told what happened. So Prabhupada, go immediately and tell that devotee to pay obeisances.
Yes.
Dandava.
Yes.
So that devotee immediately just paid obeisances and everything was finished in 1 minute.
Yeah, so it works.
I can't remember whose name, but anyway, it just was in the very beginning.
Best thing is don't provoke. Yeah, don't start a riot. Don't punch any coolies or rickshaw wallahs. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.